Wisconsin I is in Oshkosh at the 2019 Republican State Convention, interviewing Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Senator, thanks for stopping in on us.
You bet. Good to be here.
You and the Assembly leaders are pretty well along building your own budget. You've got a good start.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You have decided which items were discarded. Next week, the Joint Finance Committee is going to talk about school aids.
Right.
Now, with the additional $753 million, that's pretty much one-time money, how far are you going to be able to go on the governor's ask for an additional 1.4, 1.5, which you have said is too much?
Yeah, I think we're maybe a little bit early for a discussion about a decision on those proposals, because what we're trying to get a handle on right now is kind of, and we were anticipating there were going to be some new numbers released mm-hmm. on revenue. We were hearing that corporate collections were up. We were seeing it in some other states as well. And then income tax held its own. Sales tax was actually down a little bit.
$280 million. Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what it kind of demonstrates, but, you know, we have to be cautious. And I think that's kind of where our caucuses are at right now as well. When you talk to kind of some of the members, you know, we try not to kind of forecast out or foreshadow too far out mm-hmm. that, okay, we've got this revenue available and let's put it here or there. I mean, we're trying to be cautious about that. And I think the members understand that. So the Finance Committee is trying to be responsive to the full caucus in the Senate right now by, you know, a give and take prior to them taking votes on these items. And the discussion on K-12 funding, though, is one that's kind of underway right now, because we are going to probably have to make a decision on that soon. And once that number is out there, it kind of sets the table for other things down the road.
The current budget put how much more into K-12? Was it 630 or something like that,
$635 million,
right. 635.
Right.
Are you going to be able to go above that now that you've got the additional money?
Yeah, well, you know, the governor's kind of initiative on special education and the $600 million that he forecasted for that right. is not something that I think we can achieve. And we
come halfway on the special ed.
It all comes back to, you know, whether or not the budget includes an expansion on Medicaid, and we know that's not going to happen at this point. Right. So I feel good though that we're kind of dealing with numbers that I think are consistent with where we've been in the past, and they're real. They're real numbers. I think we can make the case on K-12. I think we can make the case certainly when it comes to quote unquote health. In the spending related to all those ancillary items that are part of, you know, the health day in the Finance Committee, and then ultimately the transportation budget as well. I mean, those are the biggies for us, obviously, and we're focused on those. And I think the Finance Committee in the next couple of weeks will be able to get through those.
So. The cost to let's talk about health care. Just the cost to continue our MA program, I think Fiscal Bureau scores it as an additional $320 over the biennium.
Right.
Do you have any choice but to pay that cost to continue for MA?
Right. That's kind of been, because we've been able to manage that part of our state budget pretty well over the last 8 years, and there's been a lot of focus, there was a lot of focus under Governor Walker, we feel like we're going to get close to that number, if not, you know, be a little bit higher than that number when it comes to overall spending. So, as the speaker has been describing it publicly, there's kind of these buckets that we're trying to fill. And then once we know what the revenue is related to that, then we'll dig in, kind of roll up our sleeves and say, okay, this is how it's going to be allocated. And the set of numbers that we just received this last week gives us a better kind of overall picture of where we're at. So, and I, you know, so we're still focused on June 30th. I think we want a state budget on the governor's desk by then. I think we're going to be able to get there. We're being all-inclusive, so I feel good about where we're at right now.
Last week, Joint Finance signed off on much of the governor's clean water initiatives, but it didn't sign off on the $40 million for laterals. What's your concern about the $40 million proposed by the governor for laterals?
If you talk to, like, Senator Rob Coles, who authored a bill last session that dealt specifically with that, you know, we feel kind of like our work has been completed in that area. I mean, you can always do more. You can always try and create programs that will allow either residential or municipalities per se, or even corporations kind of tap into, you know, we need to redo this section or we need to change the lateral in a community. I think that's always, you know, you can always kind of fine tune that. But for the most part, I mean, we thought that we had done quite a bit last time. We wanted to see kind of how that played out, or whether or not what we did last session with Senator Cole's bill is effective. And I think it will be.
Some of your members too concerned that $40 million of that would have gone to the city of Milwaukee?
I think there was, there's always kind of concern of not necessarily how it's going to affect Milwaukee, but is there going to be resources available for rural communities? I think that's kind of what the discussion is. That seems to be always the focus of our caucuses.
Criminal justice reform. The governor didn't advocate a new prison, but the Green Bay prison, you've seen the price tags to fix it, very high. Where are you in terms of the whole issue of criminal justice reform? And I'm not talking about the decriminalized marijuana.
I'm talking
about adult inmates. We have overcrowding.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on how we go forward from here?
Yeah, corrections is a tricky area right now. We realize that because of the employment climate that exists in the state, low unemployment, obviously, but more so
2.8%.
Wages. Yeah, wages paid is just, you know, it has changed the dynamic of finding correctional officers. And then you talk about facilities in the capital budget. You're right, the governor didn't add anything as far as Green Bay goes. But
He added some barracks.
He did some barracks, some expansion there. But as far as, you know, we're still looking at either a maximum security institution that's probably going to have to be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. And Green Bay right now seems to be at the forefront of that. But, you know, we're well aware of Waupun and some of these other institutions that that need to be revisited or completely either constructed or built in another part of the state. And then you've got kind of the overall kind of piece that is part of the capital budget on other items that are going to have to be dealt with. So Senator Van Wongaard has been kind of my eyes and ears when it comes to the rebuild on juvenile stuff. Yeah. So there's a lot of moving parts right now, but I anticipate that by the time we're done with the capital budget, by the time we move forward on some of these public policy decisions and corrections, we'll be in a much better place than we were before this budget.
What about the issue of criminal justice reform? Do you think we can adopt policies that would eventually lower the number of adult inmates? I understand your bricks and mortar issues. You've got a big issue with Green Bay.
Right.
But what about the idea being pushed for reforms that would eventually lower our adult inmate population?
Yeah, I don't know that you fully embrace kind of what Governor Evers had put forth, but I always think there's room. I always have thought that there was room to kind of reevaluate what the profile of the inmate is in Wisconsin, and you know, going way back to the 90s, you know, when we had inmates out of state, or when we were trying to develop strategies kind of between medium and maximum security facilities. We had the Supermax that was built in Boxabel. I mean, there's so many things that we've done that I think we're always kind of reevaluating as to what's the size of the prison population and how are we managing it and are we keeping correctional officers safe? I think that's always been kind of our evaluation. I don't think this budget is any different. I think that is kind of what we're looking at.
The DOC just offered $5 per hour pay raises to some guards and sergeants, but not all. Should it have offered it to all throughout the entire system?
Absolutely. And I
are you
wish
hearing that some guards and sergeants want to transfer? Excuse me for interrupting.
No, it's caused a real riff, I think. You know, we're hearing about it as legislators, but I think all you have to do is kind of look at the overall system. And, you know, we still haven't gotten to the bottom of why the governor made this move, why DOC made this move. We thought it would be much more productive. We've got a budget right now that's looking at 2% and 2% in this biennium. I mm-hmm. think there would have been some raises. That all should have been taken into consideration before that move was made. So, yeah, I'm disappointed. I think, you know, now we've got to figure out kind of where we want to go from here. But, you know, there wasn't any consultation with the governor on that. They just made that move on their own, and the legislature found out about it later.
In your speech at the convention, you said how rarely you and Speaker Voss have met with Governor Evers. Have you asked for these meetings and been rebuffed, or it's just radio silence from
that? I think the first two meetings were not very productive.
Oh.
There was kind of some back and forth, but it just there was nothing that resonated from those meetings. So, you know, it was pretty clear to me, I think, and I was hopeful back in January that we would be able to find that person in the administration where we could build that relationship back and forth. Yep. That still hasn't emerged. You could say it's as a result of the extraordinary session in December. You could say it's the lawsuits that continue to kind of be dropped in the legislature's lap on a regular basis. I mean, there's a lot of kind of static and noise out there, and I think it is having an effect on the back and forth with the executive branch. And we're meeting soon. I know we'll, maybe if we can focus and kind of bring the issues that we want to discuss to the table and be a little bit clearer, maybe that'll help. But so far, it's neither here nor there. I mean, it's not, no one's really got egg on their face. It's just, we're just not meeting and we're not communicating. And, you know, it probably means that there's going to be less guarantees when it comes to vetoes, is what it is.
Do you see a governor that's growing into the job? Do you think the governor is learning how to be governor better in May than when you first met with him in the early weeks of his administration?
That's probably for somebody else to judge. I don't know. I'm not that close to how Governor Evers is operating or how his cabinet is functioning. But I will say this. I mean, I know that it can exist because I remember when Governor Doyle was in office and there was a Republican legislature that there was a back and forth that existed, and you know, it wasn't always prevalent in what you saw as the final pieces of public policy. But at the end of the day, there was, you know, there were some veto assurances offered, and I think that's ultimately what we're looking for.
The governor vetoed the middle income tax cut that you put on his desk.
Right.
Do you expect the Republican budget crafted by JFC going forward to both of your houses to include a middle income tax cut of roughly that same size, sir?
I do expect that there'll be a tax cut in this budget. Absolutely. I have members that have been talking about what the structure should be or what that should look like. There are a number of different proposals that have either emerged on their own, like the Wayfair decision, in which we had addressed in previous sessions how those collections should be used as an automatic tax cut. That's one thing on the table. Just by design, the tax cuts that we've offered before, either related to some type of change in the bracket or an income tax cut. So we're going to get there. We're going to figure out what that looks like. And we'll cross our fingers and be hopeful that the governor will sign it into law. And if he vetoes it, the cash stays kind of in the balance and we move on. But we definitely will include that in our budget.
Any of the additional $753 million in general fund tax collections that's anticipated, should any of that go to pay for the tax cut, the middle income tax cut?
I wouldn't rule anything out. I would say you could use one-time money for a tax cut. It just puts a ton of pressure on when that has to be renewed in the future. Yeah. I think what might be more likely is to be able to use some of that cash for one-time purchases. So you probably could use it within the infrastructure, either with vertical construction or road building. There's some stuff you could do with that, one-time cash. Or there's certainly other areas in which you would have an opportunity to use one-time money to address some things. Or you leave it in the balance. The governor, kind of in his discussions about, he didn't put it this way, he didn't have this available to him, obviously, mm-hmm. when he was considering his budget. So it is kind of in our lap, and it gives us a lot of flexibility to kind of figure out what we're going to do.
Well, I want to follow up something that you just said, what I meant to ask. Any potential that some of the additional $753 million goes to repair highways?
I think, there's a huge need to rebuild bridges in this state. And there is a program within DOT to do that, but you could actually kind of create a list, use some of this one-time money to take care of that. We're way off from having the transportation portion of the budget completed, but Right. Yeah, there's nothing that says you couldn't use that one-time money to rebuild some bridges in Wisconsin.
Your caucus on raising the gas tax, is it any closer than it was over the last session to, I'm making up a number, a 5-cent increase in the gas tax? More support, less support?
No, I think, the reality is Wisconsin has relied so heavily on gas tax that whenever you talk about an increase, and if you're talking specifically about the governor's 8 cents, you know, that would push you to number 10 in the nation, and then indexing over 10 years, mm-hmm. as he's also included, would put you like number 2 or 3 in the nation. And you know, all that does is, I think, demonstrate that there's, you know, quite honestly, not a lot of support within the caucuses to move in that direction. But there are some other things that I think we can consider when it comes to revenue, like registration, certainly titling. We've had some discussions about whether or not we wanted to, once again, open the door to open road tolling. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the case has been made for that kind of time and time again. It hasn't been flat out rejected by the caucuses. So we're having those discussions, and I think at the end of the day we'll arrive at something that both the Senate and the Assembly can agree to.
You and I have paid $75 to register our vehicles since 2008. Time to raise that?
Yeah, I think it's on the table. I mean, I'm not sure what that increase will be, if there's going to be one. The title fee is getting a lot of interest right now as well. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you purchase a new vehicle or when you retitle a vehicle, that's getting some interest as well, because that has not been increased in many years. So there's things like that, I think, that kind of keeps the gas tax off the table. And we'll see where we end up.
The governor recommended a pretty hefty increase in registration fees on our largest trucks.
Right.
Is that not going to be part of a Senate budget?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't pull heavy trucks off the table right now, but I know there is some pushback. A lot of the corporations that operate in Wisconsin, carriers, are concerned about that. So we'll see kind of if that remains as part of ultimately what would be the transportation package.
Is a possible compromise increasing the registration fee, titling fee, and a penny or two on the gas tax, or gas tax off the table?
I don't see the gas tax right now. I don't see it. I don't think there's enough support for it within our caucus, and the speaker's told me as well. He thinks it's there's not a lot of support there as well. So.
If the budget that the legislature puts on Governor Evers' desk doesn't include enough of his priorities, so he has said he would consider vetoing the whole budget, what would be your strategy then coming back then, sir?
I advise the governor in his office in our second meeting that if there's somebody whispering in his ear to veto that entire budget, I think it would be a mistake. No matter what comes out of the Republican legislature, I think he should sign it into law. I mean, obviously, he'll have the partial veto, but to veto the entire document, I know the legislature, and after that vote on the budget, they scatter, yeah. And it's hard to bring legislators back in, get them to focus and say, okay, now we're going to pass another budget that's going to be closer to what the governor wants. That seems to me like it would be, a dog chasing its tail. I think that's a huge gamble. And probably what you'd end up doing is coming back in and passing individual pieces of legislation to maybe address some of the things that were lost in an overall veto. So I would advise the governor not to do it, and I would be hopeful he doesn't do that. And I think at the end of the day, I think he will not do that. I think there'll be some partial vetoes, but I doubt very much he'll veto the entire budget.
None of his cabinet secretaries have been confirmed. Do you, as Senate leader, plan on putting them up for confirmation votes anytime soon, or your strategy on his secretaries, sir?
Yeah, we had 6 cabinet members all ready to go, teed up, out of the standing committees, ready to go to the floor when the lawsuit came. And I, again, told the chief of staff as well as the governor, I said, I think it's a big mistake to continue to pursue this on the legal track. And they decided to continue down that path. Ultimately, obviously, those cabinet members that were confirmed back in December in the extraordinary were allowed to return to their jobs. Mm-hmm. So far, DOA has been accommodating for that. I think that's all great, but people are pretty sore about it. I mean, there's a lot of members of my caucus that know that, and if you were around during Act 10, it was reiterated that the legislature runs the legislature, and we decide when we call ourselves in and the way that we function and the way that we operate. And so there's a lot of veteran legislators that understand that. I mean, it's part of the separation of powers, and that's what was being challenged, obviously. So, it's going to take a while, I think, for people to get kind of back to center on this whole thing. But, we'll kind of talk to the administration and see if we can't get some of these cabinet members confirmed. in the near future.
Are there two or three cabinet secretaries who you don't have the votes for right now?
Absolutely,
sir?
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah, there's a handful that I think, for one reason or another, and it could be anything under the sun, because you know that there's no requirement for why a legislator decides to vote yes or no on an individual confirmation, that, there's definitely some people where the votes just aren't there right now. So,
where are you on Secretary Thompson? Could you personally vote for him?
I think Craig's a good guy. The problem we have with the Secretary of Transportation, he's continually advocating for kind of this hoax, which is repeal minimum markup and raise the gas tax, and this is going to wash out. And it's not just the initial kind of discussions. He's been kind of traveling across the state and kind of doubling down on this whole logic. And I think it's done nothing but kind of confuse a lot of people. And at the end of the day, it's probably not helping advance the transportation budget at all. So, although I think if you put them on the floor, sure, with Democrat votes, you'd probably get there. But I've got a number of members that are not comfortable with Secretary Thompson because he continually kind of is advocating for just more revenue related to the gas tax, and we're not going there. So.
Just two more questions. The governor's idea for a $5,000 per year first-time homeowner's credit, do you like that, Senator?
Yeah, I mean, I think we haven't discussed it fully in the caucus. We're not there yet.
I guess it's not a credit. It would be a deduction, correct?
It'd be a deduction, right.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Excuse me.
But I wouldn't take it off the table until we kind of see what the full fiscal impact would be. And I don't know that we've had them kind of score it, or that the Fiscal Bureau has kind of given us an overall number on, you know, where we could go. You could dial it up or down depending on what you want it to look like. But, I wouldn't rule anything like that out from day one.
Final question. It's obvious Joint Finance took away both marijuana issues, both medical marijuana and decriminalized for up to 25 grams.
Right.
Once a budget is signed into law, my question is, in the fall session, if the Assembly advanced a medical marijuana proposal, dead on arrival in your house?
It is in the Senate, you know. I know the Speaker has said he might be open to a discussion on medical marijuana, but and I think right now, kind of with two Midwestern states, with Michigan and Minnesota having this now, I think it would probably be good for us to kind of sit back and see exactly what issues emerge in and around those states. We're going to benefit from that, I think. And if at the end of the day, you know, eventually the legislature thinks it's a good idea, we'll probably go there. But right now, I don't see it at all. I don't see the momentum for it at all right now in Wisconsin.
And then just this will be my final question. Is the biggest unresolved issue between you and the Assembly highway funding, do you think? Is that really the one that's...
No, we're not. I wouldn't say we're operating that way. I mean, I think, you know, every day I get, 10 phone calls from the Finance Committee about papers that are before them and the differences between the Senate and the Assembly. And, you know, luckily that type of Finance Committee back and forth is what ultimately builds the budget,
right,
as you know. So I'm not alarmed by that, but I think there'll be a number of things that continue to kind of emerge. But, yeah, transportation is probably, you know, it is obviously one of the big ones that we're looking at.
Senator Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to Wisconsin.
Yep, good to be with you.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks.